of our enemies. On one side were slave boys, notable for their training and beauty. On the other were throngs of slave women and all the other resources that a prosperous and mighty empire could offer after reviewing its possessions. "What else is this," I said to myself, "than a stirring up of man's cravings, which are in themselves provocative of lust? What is the meaning of all this display of money? Did we gather merely to learn what greed was?" For my own part, I left the place with less craving than I had when I entered. I came to despise riches, not because of their uselessness, but because of their pettiness. Have you noticed how, inside a few hours, that program, however slow-moving and carefully arranged, was over and done? Has a business filled up this whole life of ours, which could not fill up a whole day? I had another thought also. The riches seemed to me to be as useless to the possessors as they were to the onlookers. Accordingly, I say to myself, whenever a show of that sort dazzles my eyes, whenever I see a splendid palace with a well-groomed corps of attendants and beautiful bearers carrying a litter, why wonder? Why gape in astonishment? It is all show. Such things are displayed, not possessed. While they please, they pass away. Turn thyself, rather, to the true riches. Learn to be content with little, and cry out with courage and with greatness of soul, "We have water. We have porridge. Let us compete in happiness with Jupiter himself." And why not, I pray thee, make this challenge even without porridge and water? For it is base to make the happy life depend upon silver and gold, and just as base to make it depend upon water and porridge. "But," some will say, "what could I do without such things?" Do you ask, what is the cure for want? It is to make hunger satisfy hunger. For, all else being equal, what difference is there in the smallness or the largeness of the things that force you to be a slave? What matter how little it is that fortune can refuse to you? Your very porridge and water can fall under another's jurisdiction. And besides, freedom comes not to him over whom fortune has slight power, but to him over whom she has no power at all. This is what I mean. You must crave nothing if you would vie with Jupiter, for Jupiter craves nothing. This is what Attalus told us. If you are willing to think often of these things, you will strive not to seem happy, but to be happy. And, in addition, to seem happy to yourself rather than to others. Farewell. Letter 111. On the Vanity of Mental Gymnastics. You have asked me to give you a Latin word for the Greek sophismata. Many have tried to define the term, but no name has stuck. This is natural, inasmuch as the thing itself has not been admitted to general use by us. The name, too, has met with opposition. But the word which Cicero used seems to me most suitable. He calls them cavillationes. If a man has surrendered himself to them, he weaves many a tricky subtlety, but makes no progress toward real living. He does not thereby become braver, or more restrained, or loftier of spirit. He, however, who has practiced philosophy to effect his own cure, becomes high-souled, full of confidence, invincible, and greater as you draw near him. This phenomenon is seen in the case of high mountains, which appear less lofty when beheld from afar, but which prove clearly how high the peaks are when you come near them. Such, my dear Lucilius, is our true philosopher, true by his acts and not by his tricks. He stands in a high place, worthy of admiration, lofty, and really great. He does not stretch himself or walk on tiptoe like those who seek to improve their height by deceit, wishing to seem taller than they really are. He is content with his own greatness. And why should he not be content with having grown to such a height that fortune cannot reach her hands to it? He is, therefore, above earthly things, equal to himself under all conditions, whether the current of life runs free, or whether he is tossed and travels on troubled and desperate seas. But this steadfastness cannot be gained through such hair-splittings as I have just mentioned. The mind plays with them, but profits not a whit. The mind, in such cases, is simply dragging philosophy down from her heights to the level ground. I would not forbid